NPR.
If you were to describe yourself, you know, as like a character in a book or a daily economics podcast, like how would you do it?
I'm just a happy-go-lucky, small-framed, middle-aged woman who will kick your ass if needed.
Fair warning.
Not specifically you, but if I had to.
About 8 years ago, Cynthia Meacham was living in Albuquerque, New Mexico, working as an engineer at Intel, when she first heard about this strange local news story.
One of my coworkers sort of moseyed up to me and quietly whispered, "Have you heard of the Forrest Fenn treasure hunt?" And I said, "No." And then he said, "Oh my God, you have to Google Forrest Fenn."
So later that day, she did. And what she found online was kind of outrageous. This eccentric octogenarian art dealer named Forrest Fenn was claiming to have hidden an antique treasure chest filled with over $1 million worth of gold coins and rare relics somewhere in the Rocky Mountains.
Fenn had then released what he claimed was a way to find it, a self-published memoir with this cryptic poem inside that he said would lead, when properly decoded, straight to the treasure.
And when Cynthia Meacham read about all this,
I mean, Raiders of the Lost Ark, just one of my all-time favorite movies. I wanted to be in that movie.
Yeah.
Cynthia picks up a copy of the book the next day, along with some maps of the Rocky Mountains. And later that week, she is on her way into the wilderness to test out her own theories for what Fenn might have meant in his cryptic riddle. And Cynthia basically never stopped looking.
How much money do you think you ended up spending over the last decade hunting for this treasure?
Probably $30,000 maybe over 10 years.
Wow.
I think I just always thought, well, if I'm not doing this and spending money on this, I'm going to be spending money on something else. But there are people who just could not control this obsession or addiction, whatever you want to call it, and they actually let it ruin them.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Alexi Horowitz-Ghazi.
And I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. The fanatical pursuit of treasure is a force as old as human history. The often romanticized, often violent stuff of pirates and conquistadors. But this impulse is by no means a thing of the past.
Today on the show, how a modern-day treasure hunt unleashed thousands of gold-hungry amateur adventurers onto the Mountain West. It spawned marriages and partnerships and an online community. But it also inspired hunters to dig up cemeteries, attempt burglary, and led to the deaths of at least 5 people.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capital One with the Capital One Quicksilver Card. Details at CapitalOne.com. What's in your wallet? Credit approval required. Capital One Bank, USA, NA. This message comes from NPR sponsor Plaid. If you're building a finance app or service, Plaid is the easiest way to get started. With Plaid's API, your users can securely connect their bank account to your app in as little as 7 seconds. Get started at plaid.com/NPR.
To learn more about Forrest Fenn, the outlandish art dealer at the heart of this story who died last September, we called up Dan Barbarisi. His new book about the hunt, Chasing the Thrill, is out this week.
Forrest Fenn, Dan explains, was this Texas-born Air Force pilot who brought a larger-than-life showmanship to the rarefied art and antiquities market of Santa Fe, New Mexico.
He was known for being a lot splashier than I think other art dealers would be. He loved full-page color ads.
He had a pair of pet alligators named Elvis and Beowulf. And Fenn's over-the-top style worked. He became a millionaire, amassed a huge collection, and counted the likes of Jackie Kennedy and Ralph Lauren among his clients.
But what many considered to be Fenn's cavalier approach to artifacts also made him a pretty controversial figure. In the 80s, for example, Fenn bought the ruins of an entire Native American pueblo and proceeded to excavate the site himself, much to the horror of archaeologists.
So if Indiana Jones finds an object or an artifact, he's like, "This belongs in a museum."
Yes.
What does Forrest Fenn say?
Forrest Fenn would say that too, but I don't think in quite the same way. He might have said, "This belongs in the private collection of a dealer."
Dan says that Fenn cooked up the idea for his treasure hunt after a cancer scare back in the late 80s. But it wasn't until 2010, when he was around 80 years old, that he actually did it, trudging out to his favorite place in the Rocky Mountains to hide an ornate 10-by-10-inch treasure chest filled with dozens of gold coins and gold nuggets and artifacts from his collection. including pre-Columbian gold mirrors and a dragon bracelet inlaid with rubies and emeralds.
Fenn then self-published a kind of scrapbooky memoir called The Thrill of the Chase, which included a mysterious poem that he claimed contained the necessary clues to reach the chest. And he framed the whole thing as a way of giving people a pretense for adventure, as he told interviewers with the New Mexico Tourism Department in this 2015 video.
My main motive in writing the book and hiding the treasure was to get kids off the couch today, away from their little texting machines, and nature is a wonderful thing.
I asked author Dan Barbarese how Fenn's fanciful idea went from a local curiosity to a national media spectacle.
It's the Today Show, no question about it.
Treasure hunt, it sounds like something right out of the movies. Millions of dollars.
You know, once it goes on the Today Show, it becomes a full-fledged craze.
National media coverage took off, and soon enough, thousands of treasure hunters were descending on the Rocky Mountain states each year. Fenn himself was inundated with hundreds of emails a month from people desperate for any scrap of information from him. And a diehard treasure hunting community took off online, filled with searchers like Cynthia Meacham.
It didn't matter who you were or if you had money or you were homeless. What we had in common was everybody loved Forrest Fenn, and everybody loved searching for his treasure.
But Dan Barbarese says it wasn't too long before a dark side began to emerge around the hunt. First, searchers started to get into dangerous situations in the wilderness, requiring emergency rescues. Some got into financial trouble, blowing through their savings to fund more and more interstate expeditions. And some hunters took their conspiratorial treasure theories to dangerous lengths.
There was a guy who broke into Fenn's compound and actually absconded with a chest of sorts. It was a laundry chest, but he did leave with it. And Fenn actually came home, I believe from a dentist appointment at the time, and he and one of his daughters ended up holding the man at gunpoint.
Another searcher became obsessed with the idea that one of Fenn's granddaughters was the real treasure and was arrested multiple times for stalking. Another guy was arrested for digging up a cemetery in Yellowstone. And the community was roiled by allegations that Forrest Fenn had solicited nude photos and private meetings from some of the female searchers, which Forrest Fenn denied.
And then in the winter of 2016, the first treasure hunter died, followed by three more deaths over the next year and a half.
When people start dying in numbers, that created a lot of calls to say, hey, is this thing worth having? Should we end this before more people die?
And while Forrest Fenn stated publicly that he was considering calling off the hunt, Fenn told Dan Barbarese he'd never seriously given that idea any shrift. And sure enough, after that initial wave of public pressure, the hunt went largely back to normal. Until last spring.
Do you remember where you were when you found out somebody had found the treasure?
Do you know where you were when Kennedy was shot? Or when the space shuttle blew up?
I was but a twinkle in the cosmic churn at that point.
So you're young. But you understand what I'm saying.
Cynthia Meacham says when the news broke that someone had finally cracked the riddle and found the treasure, it sent a shockwave through the community. And that was only 3 months before Forrest Fenn himself died last September at the age of 90.
And it was like, okay, now it's really over. With Forrest gone, it is really, really over.
The finder eventually identified himself as a 32-year-old medical student named Jack Stoof. He has yet to divulge the specific place where he found the chest, beyond that it was in Wyoming. But he did tell author Dan Barbarese that he is currently preparing the treasure for sale. Dan says reliable estimates have placed its value at around $1 million, but that it could fetch more given its notoriety.
I asked searcher Cynthia Meacham when she weighed all of the adventure and camaraderie of the hunt against the deaths and controversy, whether she thought it had all been worth it in the end.
Oh my God, yes, it was worth it. These are like the best 10 years of my life. I don't want to ignore the tragedies and bad stuff that happened, but the good that I think Forrest created with the chase so far outweighed any of the negative things. That's just part of human nature, part of life. People do stupid things.
Forrest Fenn, for his part, seemed to think the chaos he'd unleashed was part of the point. Here's what he told interviewers for a 2015 video when asked to respond to critics who thought he was a public nuisance who was leading people to act recklessly.
I pretty much agree with him. I never wanted to break the law, but I wanted to bend some of them a little bit. You know, how do you know where the edge is if you don't go out there and look?
Today's show was produced by Emma Peasley, fact-checked by Sam Tsai, and edited by Kate Kincannon. The Indicator is a production of NPR.